Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 83 of the Interviews Podcast. I am one half of your co-hosting duo, Gianmarco Paterno, here to recap the match between Inter and Lazio, where we had goals in the 32nd minute from Daichi Kamada, and then the 87th minute from the bane of my existence, Denzel Dumfries. But you know what? He did come on good for us. The game ends in a 1-1 draw, basically ending in any chance for Inter to break their points total record, which, I mean, isn't really much of a big deal in the grand scheme of things, and allows Lazio to move level with Roma for that last spot. For potentially Europa League or maybe even Champions League, depending on how things play out here. Alessandro is actually in Canada right now. We weren't able to hook up for this episode, so I reached out to a good friend, a big Lazio fan, and also the CFO of Charlotte FC, Sean McIntosh. How you doing, Sean?
What's up, my good friend?
Not much, man. I mean, this game was more important for you guys, right? Not too much for us really to play for, since we had the title wrapped up. Kind of was really just a formality on our end. I wish we didn't come out playing so flat, but you guys came out looking like you had a point to prove and wanting to go for all 3 points. How do you think that first half started for you guys?
Well, you know what? I'll say this. Like, we looked fine in run of play. You guys, well, you may have looked more flat than usual. You still came out with a couple great chances early on, if not for Provedel, who, you know, I'll remind everybody what type of a keeper he is. And today was a reminder of exactly who he is. One of the top keepers in Serie A, the goalkeeper of the season last year, you know, took a little bit of a slight dip in form this year, but it was a chaotic season for Lazio where a lot of players took dip in form, and he's kept Lazio alive in so many matches that their defense had been disastrous. And today was an example of that. I mean, look, you know, while Lazio escaped that first half up 1-0 off of a brilliant, brilliant goal from Kamada off of his weak foot, you know, it was Provedel who kept you guys off the score sheet. I thought, you know, Inter deserved more. But, you know, you guys had nothing to play for, and we did. We had everything to play for. You know, I'm happy for you personally. I'm, you know, happy for Interisti. If there's a big club that I'm fine with winning it, it's usually Inter. Very happy for Simone Inzaghi, but I don't know. Hard to forgive him, I'll be honest. when you guys laid down for Sassuolo, and you know, he's a player. Former player of Lazio, 20 something years with the club between his management time here. And, you know, my issue there is, like, for, you know, he wants to, I'm a Laziale before he leaves, right? Nothing. No, I bleed for this. And, you know, and now you see him doing the same thing for Inter. Just was a solid man. This game didn't mean anything for you. Like, you know, you played your strongest 11, the strongest 11. Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed, but in terms of like how we played, I thought, you know, especially in that first half, it was fine. Generally, like, Lazio has this problem where they find themselves a little toothless in the final third and do a lot of good things leading up, but you know, we'll kind of get to it, but obviously a goal ruled offside for Lazio, rightfully so. But just one of many examples of just how our season's gone, and particularly with a player like Tati, who, you know, when he does something well, it's kind of like, oh, well, offside. So much for that. So, yeah, tough one.
Yeah, no, that first half was pretty wild for sure. Definitely Provedel was massive for you guys. I mean, the save early on Turan was huge. I was actually, when I saw the replay again, and to see how he was able to drop that left leg a little and just get enough on it to redirect it, I mean, man, I was like, what a great save, really. And a reaction, too. Like, I mean,
just coming off injury. First match, too. Yep.
that was a fantastic save. And of course the two big ones on Di Marco there, early on in the, or later on, I mean, in the first half. I mean, yeah, I was a little surprised they actually did go with the starting 11, given the fact that this, like you said, this game meant really nothing. I was kind of hoping to see Tejan Buchanan from minute one. You know, I mean, we can get into that in the second half, but the guy, his speed and pace, I mean, it is a weapon. And I felt like once he came on, like it kind of shifted things for the better for us. But you know what, for whatever reason, I don't know. I don't know if Simone has a bone to pick with Lotito or what it is that's why he decided to throw out his strongest 11 in this game. But yeah, I was a little, I mean, yes, it was rightfully so that Tati was ruled offside. I was actually surprised though, because it looked like it was just, you know, Acerbi kind of got cooked really in this first half, really. I mean, that he got beat being allowing him. I mean, we know, I think most people really know that Tati's trying to get it on his right foot and he allows him to swing it there and he takes a fantastic shot and scores. And really just by a matter of inches, it ends up being offsides. And he was misplaying passes in the first half. It was, you know, I mean, it looked like the guys were just returning from vacation and kind of just easing into things in this game. But you know what? I wasn't very mad about it myself. You know, I was just like, hey, we know it's won. There's nothing really. It's just kind of like,
The motivation. There. I mean, it makes sense from you guys. You know, even right, he's backpedaling on that play and, you know, not trying to necessarily be aggressive and attack the ball. And if I'm sitting in your shoes, like, sure, maybe it's annoying, but, you know, you think about, we've got a month out till Euros. He's a player that's going to play a large part of that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, naturally, you know, he's going to be timid. He's the last thing he wants to do is step up, go in for a tackle. Right. We saw it in the match. Who went down from your side? Where it was just like, you know, you hope that I think maybe it was Bastoni. But you just, like, last thing you want to do in a match that's so irrelevant like this is pick up any sort of a knock with Euros so close. So, you know, that's where it's Lazio had an opportunity to come out to be the more physical team. And, you know, I think they did well in a lot of what they were doing in the midfield. But that's just been the story of Lazio this season, is not really being, you know, super. They're not making teams. They're not punishing teams especially in the final third of just once they get in the box, it takes something like what Daichi did today to find a goal. And a player like Tati is just, you know, he's struggled all season.
You know what? Let's talk about Kamada a little bit, because he's a guy that I was excited for you guys to sign. He's a guy that I kind of wanted us to pick up, especially on a free. You know, I thought that he would have been a tremendous guy to have coming off the bench or even starting. You know, I probably would have wanted him to play personally over Mkhitaryan if we did have him. But for a long part of the season, Maurizio Sarri did not want to play him. I didn't understand it. I mean, I get some certain tactical aspects maybe into the way that he likes to play, not wanting to play Kamada, but you see what he can bring to the team when he is in the starting 11. I mean, how does it feel that now Igor Tudor is giving him some opportunities here?
Yeah, you know, just such an interesting roller coaster ride with Kamada. I was very high on him coming in, and he was probably the most sought after free agent on the market. You know, he's a player that warrants a pretty solid transfer fee. Won Europa with Frankfurt, did some really, really good things, both in league play, European plays, is a strong player, an important player for the Japanese national team. And you know, he was somebody that I was excited that we could lure a player like that to Lazio. And particularly under Sadi's system, I thought he was going to be useful. He's a versatile player, can play a number of different positions, even so much as playing out wide. And so I thought there would be a spot for him. And early in this campaign, when we played Napoli, maybe our best match of the season, he played tremendous. And I was very, very hopeful. And then Sadi, you know, Sadi, a lot of good from Sadi, a lot of things that particularly this season, like, just crept in, some of his stubbornness. And he's a manager that really focuses on a balance and making sure that there is a defensive balance. And I don't think he trusted Kamada. Now, I'll be fair to say that, you know, in the very limited opportunities Kamada did have, he was a shell of what you see right now. And he was a player that didn't spark a ton of confidence, both for me as a fan and, you know, in even how some of his teammates reacted to him. They were really timid to even give him the ball. There were times where, you know, I'd see Kamada making an effort to find open space and they weren't passing it to him. So, you know, that for me made me question him. I think his attitude was one that I questioned. I just thought he was kind of mopey and sad, and there wasn't a fight in him. I was ready to discard him, you know, simply for that matter. I remember a game where I was just like, dude, this guy just checked out. He doesn't care. But Tudor came in and built his confidence up. And now you see the player that was so highly rated. I think he's been our man of the match, you know, three or four times in this short stint with Tudor. And today was a perfect example. He's got this confidence. He's all over the place. He's beating people off dribbles. He's taking strikes from distance with his weaker foot. So, you know, he's a player for me, given all of the question marks that Lazio has going into this transfer market. You know, a player like Luis Alberto, who is, you know, said he's on the way out and doesn't want to accept another euro from Lazio. You know, I'm fine with that. You know, if you can get something for him, because I think while he's a very different player, I think we've got a player here that can be very, very useful. And he seems to be really happy, you know, right now. So, yeah, I think he's a player that Lazio's got to do a few things to keep him. Now, he doesn't come with a cheap salary, and that's kind of the question. You know, if he's going to play like he did today on his salary, you know, we do everything to keep him. If he's going to revert back to, you know, the player he was for a lot of this season, then, you know, it's tough to pay a player like that. But I think Tudor's definitely unlocked the Daichi Kamada a lot of people knew.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I love watching him play now. It seems like he's a completely changed man, and he looks like he is motivated to want to stick around and potentially help this team going forward. And I think that Tudor might be the best manager to get the best out of him. So hats off to him, especially for that strike. I mean, it was a great goal. Some people were wanting to blame Sommer for not getting down. I mean, I don't know. To me, it's like, if you look at that angle, and he was kind of blinded, and the ball was kind of turning away from him anyway when he did make the dive. So can't really fault him. It's a wonder strike. Like, I don't know. To me, I think people are a little too harsh on Sommer. I think because, you know, they expect maybe Onana type saves or whatever it may be. But I mean, he's been a key contributor throughout the season, so I think people need to maybe lay off on him for sure. But when I now look at the rest of that first half and just seeing how things played out for us, you know, I mean, really it looked like a lot of our guys on Inter were a little flat for sure. I think the only guy who looked like he was trying to push anything was really, you know, Barella, which is typical of him. No matter what it is, his engine's always on go, go, go. And Lauti and Thuram, although they had some moments where it looked like they were, you know, trying to score and put some efforts going forward, you know, at the end, they just weren't really able to get that final product. It also helped that Provedel was fantastic, making some big saves on some headed chances. One in particular, really, on Lautaro in the first half. And then we go into the half really tied up 1-1, you know, I mean 1-0. Sorry, we go down 1-0 going into the half and come out in the second half, and you guys come out again really on the front foot. Look like whatever team talking Zaghi may have had with the boys going in the locker room did not have any effect, because early on it looked like I thought for sure that you guys were going to come out and score that second goal really quickly. And like, fortunately, we were able to weather the storm. Sommer made some big saves really there. And then we get a chance once we were able to kind of get things forward. And I believe it was Nicolo Barella who gets a decent shot off. Doesn't turn into anything, but he does get, you know, a pretty good rip out there. And half continues on, and we start to see the substitutions coming on for both squads. Inter ended up bringing on one of my least favorite players in Alexis Sanchez. And also Davide Fratesi relieving Hakan and oh my gosh, who else did we take off there? We took off Hakan, and now I gotta go check the subs here. It was Hakan and Mkhitaryan were the substitutions there for Alexis and Fratesi, and immediately Alexis starts misplaying passes. He starts getting sloppy with the ball. One thing that I notice he likes to do is he likes to try to be the hero. He likes to try to be the main focal point of the attack for whatever reason. I don't know if his brain is stuck in his time with Udinese, but it doesn't really turn out the way that we had liked or would have liked, I should say. Now, around that same time, if I'm not mistaken, it was it Zaccagni and Rovella were the first two substitutes for Lazio at that time?
So, Lazio, 65th minute, subbed on Hisai for Pellegrini, and then Guendouzi came on as well. It was, let's see, shortly after you had Luis Alberto on for Zaccagni, and then Kamada comes off for Felipe Anderson.
Gotcha. So, okay. But yeah, those guys, you know, when I saw Guendouzi coming on off the bench, I was like, oh man, I forgot really all about him. Like, that was a kind of a surprise, even that he kind of entrusted, I guess it would be Vecino that he probably started over Guendouzi typically, right?
Today, yeah.
Yeah. I was a little surprised with that for sure, especially being able to see him come off the bench. I mean, we know the whole thing with Luis Alberto, and to be able to have a guy like Felipe Anderson also coming off the bench, I mean, it's pretty good depth for you guys. I was a little surprised that Chito didn't come on, maybe, you know, to try to get that late winner. I mean, we know that guy can perform for you guys very well. I mean, some people have arguments, and I know that you defend him on the national team for the, you know, saying that he doesn't do the same type of efforts with the national team, but I mean, obviously, you can make the argument too that he doesn't get the same type of service that he gets from that he on the national team that he gets from Lazio. So, I mean, some good guys brought on for both teams. I got to see the player that I was dying to see come on later on. Actually, he was actually the last substitution on was Tejan Buchanan. We also brought on Denzel Dumfries and Carlos Augusto. Augusto, a player who's been consistent for us all season, really a defensive stalwart. I think that he is a guy. I love his flexibility in defense, where he can either play left wing back, he can play left center back. I mean, it allows you to be able to bring on a guy like Tejan Buchanan, who inevitably did come on when we subbed off Alessandro Bastoni. And as soon as Buchanan comes on, he has a few good bursts into the box. He gets a ball played really poorly by Alexis Sanchez, who really snaps at him. I was kind of surprised at the way he reacted. Honestly, I thought it was kind of a dick move. You played a ball that was, I mean, going to be difficult for any player, no matter how well they are and how good their touch is, to be able to control that and bring it on cleanly into goal. So a little bit of some angst there. But then in the 87th minute, we see off of a free kick, Alexis Sanchez is able to cross it in back post to Denzel Dumfries, who heads it in. Would you say that like he got away cleanly? Like maybe I don't know who was man marking him.
It was Marušić. You know, and this is just a pretty consistent theme with Marušić, who on our podcast we've got an award we dub every match called our Bidone, and Marušić is one of the players that when we do our yearly recap is probably earned more or close to as many players, you know, this year, maybe aside from Casale. But Marušić, Lazio, when it comes to aerial defending is quite poor. You know, they have some players, especially when Romagnoli's not in there, who was suspended for this one. When you don't have Romagnoli in there, you've got a player like Patrick, who is giving up a lot of size himself. Marušić is actually built, you know, and he's a player that has some strength to him, but for whatever reason is always getting dunked on. And it always seems to come late in matches too. And this was just another example. Good ball, you know, kind of fell asleep a little bit, loses positioning to Dumfries, and Dumfries just grown mans him and wins the ball. And at the end of the day, it's another failure on Marušić's part. You know, kudos to Dumfries because he's got to finish it, but you know, that's just another typical Lazio moment, particularly because it comes so soon after Tati just completely blows his opportunity. And, you know, I'll wait for you to touch on that. But yeah, that's just an example of what it's been like this season for Lazio.
Yeah, I did want to get on that because I was truly amazed at the effort that Benjamin Pavard displayed on running that. It was actually immediately after Alexis Sanchez has the ball right outside the edge of the 18. And he takes, I would say, four too many touches, not even just one too many. Like, he just refuses to lay it off to a teammate running along the edge of the 18, gets stripped of the ball, and Lazio are on the counterattack. Tati Castellanos has, I mean, he's pretty much clean on goal and allows, really, Benjamin Pavard to close him down and then make an absolutely beautifully timed challenge to take the ball off his feet. And Pavard, I mean, Sommer's able to come out, gather the ball at his feet, and play onward. I mean, that really was the game right there. It could have been door closed for Lazio to win it. I mean, they go up 2-0. There's no chance of us coming back. We really weren't creating much to begin with. And that saved us from another loss, and obviously prevented you guys from being able to move up into sixth place cleanly. And I think that would have put you 2 points up on Roma, who would have had a game in hand at the time, or obviously before they play. But yeah, I mean, what a massive, massive display of effort from Benjamin Pavard. What we've been lacking in defense has been a defender with speed. I mean, Chedby is not really the fleetest of foot. Skriniar last year might have been even slower, to be quite honest. There's a lot of times where his lateral movement, his pace totally got him into bad situations. And I think that Benjamin Pavard was such a massive upgrade. Some people might disagree on that, but to me, his ball playing ability, his pace, way better than what we would have gotten from Milan Skriniar if we did extend him. And I am very thankful that, obviously, based on that display that he had there, making that that last ditch effort tackle, kept us in it. And I would actually probably go as so far as to say that Benjamin Pavard is my man of the match, because
what was the most important? Yeah, I mean, that was it. That was, I mean, you know, well deserved. That was the moment of the match. That obviously is what still gave you guys life and motivation to fight for a goal, and it took the air out of Lazio. And you know, all the credit to Pavard. You know, it was a great tackle. I haven't seen the replay. I heard some people shouting for a foul. I thought he got the ball. Again, I haven't seen the replay, but you know, even if it was a foul, I thought Tati got it all wrong in every possible way. Again, credit to Pavard, because he's got to go in there and make the tackle, but Tati allowed him to catch him. And this has been an issue with Tati. You know, he's really lost confidence this season. I haven't seen a player miss as many gimmies as Tati has this season. You know, and again, even when he manages to find the back of the net or score just a really, really nice goal, something goes against him. So today, 4 minutes in the match, it's offside. It's a really brilliant goal, places it. I don't know if you remember earlier this season, Tati had what maybe would have been the goal of the Serie A season. In just a beautiful bicycle kick, and then it's ruled off. Yeah. You know, so he has a flair for the dramatic and can score some wonder goals. You know, the bad luck piece is not necessarily on him. His issue is now the confidence to bury some of these give me's, these really sitters, and just making some of those poor decisions because of that. So, you know, he's one-on-one with the keeper, but forget that. He's got Guendouzi wide open to his left. So it's not even, you know, where he's got to focus on finishing. He has options, and he hesitates, allows Pavard to come in there, and, you know, doesn't even get a shot off. And that just really is a sign of just where Tati is. My frustration was that I kind of in my notes for this match was just demanding, it's the 60th minute and we don't have Ciro Immobile on to give us just an extra bit of life, that veteran leadership. You know, if Ciro Immobile was caught in that situation, I can accept that, because Ciro has lost a little bit of his pace, you know, and his quickness. That's just, he's 34 years old. He's come off of a series of injuries. He's not the same player. What he still provides is his ability to finish, make smart plays. He's usually really good at making the right run. In a situation like this, you know, there's a good chance Chito Immobile is getting caught. But there's also a good chance he's probably already making the right pass and getting it to Guendouzi. So Tati, a player on a break, I'm going, okay, Tati, you've kind of fucked up in a lot of ways this season. And, you know, but it's a break. You've got some pace. Great. Like, you know, attack, put your head down, start licking your chops to find a goal. You know, that's just, Tati is just kind of shied away from that. The thing I've always been impressed about Chito Immobile, and people can hate on him, is that he may miss a chance, he may miss another chance, but he's going to keep providing those chances, you know, and give himself chance. He's going to allow you as a fan to be like, oh man, you know, he missed a chance, but he's going to keep putting his head down with a willingness to try and score. He wants to bag a goal. Tati this season has just been a player that seems afraid. And you know, if your number nine is afraid of scoring goals, that's a problem. So really disappointing. You know, just that's why on my podcast, I dubbed Tati Castellanos as our bidone of the match, for every reason why you would give Pavard a man of the match. That moment was so critical and such a spotlight on that. It's what allowed you guys to go out there and at least preserve a draw.
For sure. I mean, so Alessandro and I typically do a bidone of the match as well, which is kind of funny that you guys do it. For me, I mean, I guess I would probably give it to Alexis Sanchez. I know he had the assist on the goal, but he also had so many chances that he squandered himself, misplaying balls, trying to get too fancy with it, hanging on to the ball too long. I am actually so excited that the season's almost over, because he's someone that I can't wait to see leave this club. And, you know, a guy like Taremi is going to come in and obviously replace him, in my opinion, at a much higher level. And I look forward to seeing how we're able to compete on not just, you know, the Champions League, but also the Club World Cup, which I'm super excited about, with that being going to be eventually or be played here in the States. To be able to have that kind of depth off the bench, that's going to be huge for us. So, yeah, Alexis, thank you for your service, and you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. But I do want to bring up some of the listeners here who are fortunate enough to be at the trophy celebrations in Milano. Anthony Ferro, who's won a few of the giveaways here, and he always seems to shout us out as well. I know you're at the game, man, so happy for you to get to enjoy those celebrations. Nima as well, being there, and a few of the other guys, Nazario and Sperry as well, being able to be there. I mean, that's awesome. I'm definitely having severe FOMO for not being able to have been there to take part in the celebrations. You know, this would have been, I've never been to the San Siro myself. It's definitely on my bucket list. I was supposed to go out there literally the week when everything got shut down in the States for COVID. I was trying to figure out if I was going to cancel my flight, how I was going to get there, whatever was going to happen. I'm pretty sure we were supposed to play Hellas Verona, the game I was going to go to. But hopefully next season I'll be able to take a trip out there. I'm trying to get my father and my little brother to come with me and be able to experience it at least once. And I mean, my father's been there multiple times, but me and my brothers, none of my brothers actually have been there. So, but hats off to you guys who are there to be able to enjoy it. Truly, truly jealous. And this was going to be a short one. There was really not much to talk about in this match, at least from our side. That's why I brought Sean on, so he can bring a different perspective and kind of share the Lazio aspect. And
curious though, Johnny, I want to hear from you. Just obviously, we got Euros coming up. You know, you see a Provedel performance like that. You know, was that enough for you to think he sneaks in there as that third goalkeeper?
I mean, to me, he should be. Like, I don't get the love for Carnesecchi, to be quite honest. I mean, I feel like he makes more errors than he does saves. And yes, I know the third goalkeeper is like a glorified position. Like, it's not like,
it's still important though. Like, it's glorified to us, right? Like, as fans, yeah, to be like, yeah, whatever. But for that player to be a part of the national team, you know, that's why it's easy to throw out these decisions and be like, just give it to the young kid. But I think it's important because it does matter. And like, to if you got a guy for like Romadel, sure, right, who's the best keeper last season in Serie A and has come out to be still a very strong keeper, like, want to see him get in there. So was there any other players that stood out for you as an Interista to see? Because Lazio, you know, played some guys today that had either been injured or some players that I've wanted to see, and they kind of were back in the lineup, whether it was Gila or Rovella or, you know, Pellegrini kind of hasn't gotten any opportunities under Tudor, and we saw him today. What do you think of some of those guys?
Rovella, I mean, you know this, I've always been a fan of. There was times where I was calling for him to be called up to the national team. So, I mean, even though he didn't have the best performance, he did have the pass that kind of set up Kamada on that goal. So, I mean, I think that was great. I do think that he's someone that, maybe not for this tournament, I think we do have, I mean, obviously we saw the options that are going to be brought for the midfield, but I think maybe for the World Cup, I think Rovella is going to be a player to keep an eye out. Pellegrini, I've always seen mixed feelings on him. Watching him today, I mean, I didn't see any glaring mistakes, anything that I would be like, oh man, this guy should never wear the kit again. I mean,
yeah,
you know, if to me, I think fans, you know, should be excited that a guy who grew up a Lazio fan is playing and representing your club and being able to do it. Like, that's how I feel about Di Marco. You know, some people like think, oh man, you know, he can only last 60, 70 minutes, or oh man, he's like not great defensively. And yeah, those are all fair points, but you know the guy is going to give it all every game because he bleeds these colors. Like, I mean, the kid grew up being a part of the Curva Nord. Like, I mean, what more would you really want? Like, that's, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the same thing for you.
No, that's the same for me. I would rather root, and maybe that's just the game has changed and everything's globalized and you got corporates, you know, takeovers and, you know, got fans from around the world, and that's all good and great. But, you know, for me, obviously the game and the club I support is my family, it's community, it's, you know, and when you got a player that is going to bleed that, nothing is worse than when you lose a match because it's that your players don't give a crap. So when you got players that can come in there and at least care and fight, your assessment of Pellegrini for me was spot on. You know, he's a player that, you know, hasn't really gotten too many opportunities, has gotten some chances under Sadi in some pretty big matches, but then got injured and never seemed to get spots back. Tudor didn't seem to trust him one iota, no chances, doesn't get any minutes. Today, his first minutes, you know, it's a start. And I was happy in that, you know, he was pretty invisible in a good way. It's like, okay, he didn't make any mistake. He proves he's at least deserving of a couple chances, right? Last match of the season, we're playing Sassuolo. It doesn't mean anything. Like, you know, see if he's got something in him. But, you know, same as Rovella, he has been injured. I've been honestly furious at Tudor for not giving him some time. And it was good to see him get his first start today under Tudor, because likewise, I think he went out with injury and ended up missing a lot of the season. Lazio's two best players this year under Sarri were Guendouzi and Rovella. Then Rovella gets hurt. You know, at that time I was shouting for him to be inserted in the Azzurri squad for Euros, because I think he's one of the best ball winning tacklers from midfield. He gives the Azzurri something that they don't really have right now. And, you know, but I understand it's not really deserved now that he's been out so long. But, you know, I had kind of the same assessment with those two guys. And then, you know, I'm always excited when people get to watch Gila in an important match. And today, you know, was his first game back from injury, so he was a little dusty too. But he's a player that I think is, you know, can be one of the best center backs in Serie A, because you talk about a player with, I know you were, you know, highlighting Pavard's pace. Man, Gila, I don't know that there's a center back in the league that has a quicker pace than he does. And, you know, you see him, he's like running off the pitch, dribbling the ball. I mean, he's honestly has more creativity at his feet than a lot of our midfielders. So, you know, couple good players. I think that was probably the only positive off of a really disappointing result on my end, was getting to see some of these guys back and hopefully plans for Tudor next season.
I mean, yeah, I hope that Rovella does get some more playing time under his belt too. I do think that there's a player, like when he was at Genoa, I wanted Inter to sign him. Like I was so disappointed when we got beat to him by Juve. And then I was so happy when you guys were able to steal him from Juve, because I thought that was a massive mistake. I 100% agree with you that I do think we don't have that type of ball, that ball retaining and ball winning defensive midfielder presence in the national team. I mean, I think some people are convinced that Cristante is that guy. I don't see it. I'm not a fan of Cristante personally.
Yeah, he's not that guy.
Yeah, and for me, listen, I get why certain players are picked and not picked, and because of the injury, that's probably why Cristante may have been chosen. I think had Rovella been available all season, it would have been the other way around personally. If it were up to me, I would be sending Cristante home and bringing Rovella, even if he's just going to be on the bench. You know, I think that that's a better opportunity and a better player in late in games where maybe we're trying to hang on to a lead, whether it be against Croatia or Spain, whoever it is in the group stages. You know, I think that's a guy that would be good to be able to call on off the bench instead of a guy like Cristante, who I think not only is not as good as some try to make him out to be, but I also think he has a big mistake in his game where, you know, he could cost us a goal and allow a team like that to equalize late or whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah. And not only that, but like what Rovella does is he creates opportunities from his ability to win the ball, whether it's high up the pitch, you know, and you know, our questions with this Azzurri side, not to turn it into a Euro convo, but like, it's always like, where are goals going to come from? How do we create goals for our strikers, and having a player that can win a ball in a dangerous area? You know, again, today was a good example. Like he was a part of, you know, making a play happen that gave Kamada the chance to score a goal. So I'd like to start seeing him get some call-ups.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll come, and I think he'll be there at the World Cup personally. You know, I think that that's what's going to happen. And then with, you know, Di Marco, what I wanted to say was, you know, like he grew up in the Cordoba and now he's playing for the club. I mean, I think that's every young fan's dream. You know, like if you would have told me, let's say at a young age, that hey, like you're going to be in the stands and then you're going to be playing for this club, I'd be like, where do I sign? Like that would be, he's living out every young footballing fan's dream. Like you're playing for your boyhood club, you're winning major trophies, you're actually being a vital member, and now he's obviously earned his call up to the national team himself. And I look forward to being able to see what these guys can do in the Euros, you know, and not just Di Marco, but you know, Barella, Bastoni. You know, I mean, it seems to be an Inter-heavy squad. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we have the most players of any club on the national team.
Yeah, certainly for Italy's national team.
Yeah, for Italy.
That's yeah, what I meant. Yeah, yeah, I can't Italy. Imagine anybody else has anywhere near that with, you know, obviously Acerbi as well. So
yeah, Acerbi, yeah. Fratesi, Damian made it too. So it's going to be exciting to see. I mean, we're obviously in the group of death. But I do think that we have what it takes to get out of it. And I think we have the right manager who's going to, you know, we see that he's able to do more with less and get, you know, the best out of his players. And I think that he'll be able to do it with the national team. Same way that Mancini did really in 2020 or 2021, really. But, you know, I think that he'll be able to have that same type of effect on these guys. And hopefully we'll be here celebrating back-to-back Euros. And listen, it'd be even sweeter if we win against England again, right?
Absolutely. Nothing better.
Well, I appreciate you, man, hopping on with us and being able to spend a little bit of time here recapping the game. And kind of, I actually enjoyed covering the Euros. Maybe that's something where we can talk about maybe more leading up to the actual start of the tournament and stuff. But yeah, thanks for hopping on.
Anytime, despite the trolling attempt with a Vegas hat.
Oh, no, this was not. Honestly, I just threw it on his hat. I was not trying to
tell you. And look, it doesn't even matter because obviously the Dallas Stars won that series. So
they won the series. Listen, I picked them to go to the Cup against Florida. So both here my go, teams baby. Are still in there, man. I did pick Florida because I want them to be a first-time winner. No. But if
this is the Stars' year.
Listen, I'm not going to be upset about it because I love Wyatt Johnston. He's probably one of my favorite players right now. So,
and come on, Pavs.
He deserves a cup.
He deserves a cup, man. Suter too. You got a couple Americans, long time players without cup.
Ryan like, Suter, a good American boy. Joe Pavelski, I mean, listen, that guy, net front presence. I don't think there's a better tipper of the puck in NHL history.
Yeah, so. Dude, it's their year. I feel it. Like, I thought that they were Stanley Cup winning team all season. They're built for it. They've got perfect veterans at the end that you have, right? Like your Ray Burks. That's like, he's at the end of last chance with a couple of these guys. You got young players like Wyatt Johnston that are getting hot at the right time. You have players still in their primes, like Jason Robertson, who's an absolute beast. Roope Hintz, Ottinger is playing like out of his mind right now, which you got to have a hot goaltender.
Don't forget my boy Stank, man. I love Stankoven.
They got it. I mean, and then beat the last two Stanley Cup champs. Like, you know, it's
no joke.
It's crazy that it's been this exhausting, and they're only in the West Finals. But I'll be pretty crushed if they don't win it, because, like, in my heart, I believe this is the year. And listen, losing the last two West Finals, and then, you know, we lost the Stanley Cup Finals 3 years ago. It's been, you know, 3 out of 4 years we were either in the finals or in the West Finals. So I'm like, all right, we paid our dues. We lost.
Yeah.
Like, you got the hockey gods got to reward us.
Listen, as long as you guys move on, because I actually have the Canucks beating Edmonton personally. I think my other American boy, Brock Besser, is going to come up big in Game 7. That's kind of what I'm banking on. But as long as you guys take care of the Rangers, if they are the ones, I'll be a diehard Stars fan forever if you're able to do that for me. So
let's go.
But yeah, let's wrap it up here, guys. We didn't have any winners for the giveaway because nobody actually correctly predicted the score. So the card giveaway is going to carry over. And I do have, I know some of you guys were liking the jersey mock-ups we have. I actually have that being finalized, the design. Once that final design is submitted to me, we're going to have, I believe, 23 kits. They're going to be available for purchase through this. We're not doing this to make any profit for ourselves. Like, as hosts, we really just want this gut for you guys. And obviously, Alessandro and myself want one. We just thought it'd be cool to kind of have it. And it'll be like a limited club type thing. So if people are serious, we're going to figure out what it would be to like ship to whomever. That's all we would ask is, like, you know, you just cover the price of the jersey, cover the price of shipping. And, we'll figure it out from there, though. And then I just also won a bunch of Jan Bisek rookie cards in a lot. So I'm going to be including some Jan Bisek rookies whenever you do buy these jerseys. So be ready for that once I get the final submission. But I'll steal Alessandro's job and do this in the words of the great Roberto Scarpini: Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.